Be'ezer Hashem, we are now going to begin an unusual Parsha class. This week's Parsha is Vayikra, and I've actually gleaned out of the Parsha an appropriate Pasuk that would apply to our present situation, which we are all living in, and we'll get to that much later. But just want to mention, today the night is Chof Ches Adar Tav Shin Pei, March 23rd, 2020. I'm going to be talking about some of my insights about the terrible situation with the corona disease that's right now rampant. I'm going to use some material that I've heard from Rabbi Zachariah Wallerstein and Rabbi Ephraim Waxman, and weave together with some of my own. And Yet Hashem, hopefully we will walk away with an inspiration that even I myself, I feel that I'm going to be affected by. So let's begin right now. We are living in extraordinary times. This is really unprecedented that we are right now living in a situation where the world has locked down. The world has suddenly, inside of 3 weeks, changed completely. I go back 2.5 weeks, Purim, running around, having a great time, no problem walking the streets. It was Purim. You can imagine what Purim is. Everybody had Purim. All of a sudden, 2.5 weeks later, the world has shut down. It begs for an explanation, and we're going to talk about this right now. We'll begin with a famous Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. It says in Pirkei Avos the following, in Perek Beis, Mishnah Zayin. It begins in a very strange way. Hillel speaks about the following. Af hu ra'a gulgoles achas shetzafa al pnei hamayim. He also saw a skull floating upon the surface of the water. Omar lo, Hillel said to it, al da'ataft atfuch, v'sof mitayafoyach yitufun. Because you drowned somebody, you were drowned. And the end of the person who drowned you will end up being drowned. My Rosh Yeshiva, my Rebbe, Reb Chaim Dov Keller, Shlita Yishav Refuah Shleima, I heard he's presently critically ill. His name is Chaim Dov Ben Crandall. And I was told that he's ill, that we have to daven for him. I have in mind that the shir be a schuz for his refuah. And he said, when I was, we believe it wasn't the shir, he explained, what kind of a Mishnah is this? A Mishnah starts in the middle of a sentence? He also saw a skull floating on the water. Well, what was Hillel trying to tell us? What was going on here? So my Rebbe said a beautiful, beautiful insight. When he said, Af hu ro'a, he also saw, to mean everybody saw a skull floating on top of the water. What did people do? They clucked with sympathy and said, oh, too bad. That's just too bad. The poor guy got killed, got drowned. And they went their own merry way. Life continued on. What did Hillel do? He made a Mishnah out of it. He made a Mishnah of a floating skull. What was the Mishnah? Mida keneged mida. We have to learn from what we see. The things that are happening outside might be looked as coincidental happenstance. Not true. My Rebbe taught me that when Hillel saw a skull floating, he made a Mishnah out of it. And we are supposed to do the same thing from what we see. When we see such a turmoil in the world, then we have to make a Mishnah, a lesson out of it, so we can walk away from what's happening. So now, I'll take it a step further. It's not just a good idea to make a Mishnah out of it. I believe it's a little bit more. It's an obligation for us to make a Mishnah out of it. Why? Because don't we say Ashamnu Bagadnu? We say it every time we say Slichot. We say it all the time by Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur time. Ashamnu Bagadnu. You know what we say? And one of those words that we tap our chest and say this in a form of a vidui. We say the following two words, Koshinu Erev, we're guilty of a stiff neck. Now, what is that supposed to mean? The Chayodim explains, a stiff neck means that we refused to look at events that occur around our lives as they being Mida Keneged Mida, that there is a message being spoken to us. And because we are sometimes stiff-necked and we're not ready to open up our eyes to see what's happening around us, we have to clap Al-Khay, we have to clap Ashamnu, Kishinu Ayref. We were stiff-necked and we refused to look that there was Hashkoche Pratis, and it wasn't happenstance, it wasn't coincidence. So now let's examine our current situation. The coronavirus has suddenly taken over the world. It's a little bug. We haven't seen it. And all of a sudden, we have no cure yet for it. And people are dying all the time, especially in the countries like Italy and France and Spain. I don't know about all the others, but these are the biggest, the mortality rate. People are dying left and right. What's happening over here? There are worlds in upheaval. The social world is in upheaval. We know that we have to have social distancing. We have to stay away from our friends, our neighbors, our families. When my son came to pick something up, we told my son today, a few hours ago, you can pick up what you have to pick up. It's in the garage. We left the garage open. We didn't give it to him. We just gave him instructions. It's in the garage. Open the door and close the door and finish. And we were able to wave from a distance as he left. Social distancing. We can't be together with our families and friends. We're all separated. Even the world of sports, where the whole world centers around sports, and you know every news report is full of sports. Things are being canceled left and right. I think I heard on the radio they're seriously thinking of canceling the Olympics. What's going on here? The world is falling apart. The financial world is in upheaval. Stores by the thousands are closing. Stock market is crashing. Millions of dollars a day is being lost. The governments are trying to save the economy by pouring in billions of dollars. 3 weeks ago, the world was in a different state. Everybody was making lots of money, earning lots of money. And all of a sudden, it's changed. The Jewish world is in upheaval. Shuls all over the world have closed down their doors. I'm from Borough Park. There is a shul in Borough Park called Shemesh Shabbos that's been open for 102 years and never missed a minyan. For the first time in 102 years, the Shemesh Shabbos closed down. They couldn't have a minyan. The Kaisel, once a day, they'll permit 10 people. Not for Mincha and not for Ma'ariv, only for Shachris. Reb Shimon Bar Yochai's grave usually is crowded to the point where you can hardly walk or find a parking spot. Reb Shimon Bar Yochai's keva, empty. No one's there. Kever Rachel, empty. No one's there. schools all over the world closed down. I'm teaching my class using the technology of conferencing, something similar to what we're doing right now. And we've set it up that I am teaching my students, and Baruch Hashem, it's not the same as being in the classroom, but we're doing Baruch Hashem as best as we can. But this is like putting a Band-Aid on a cut, or rather a gash. This is not really, really school. Doing the best we can. Weddings are down to 10 people in backyards. Wedding halls are closed. This, what's happened to the Jewish world? Did this ever happen before? Never happened before. I mean, in history, talking about in Russia, there was always a minyanim underground. No problem with that. In the Holocaust, secret minyanim were all over the place, but they were secret. The Muranos, in the time of the Inquisition. Mordechai and Esther were able to assemble 22,000 children to daven together. We can't get together. Not today. Because of a gezeirah. Extraordinary historic times. So what's happening? What answers can we give for such an event? Let me preface my remarks with the following important statement. All of this is taking place in none other than in the month of Adar, in which we say, Mishenechnas Adar Marbin Besimcha. Isn't that unusual? It's happening in Mishenechnas Adar Marbin Besimcha, in the month of Simcha. So there is a message being given. We are maybe not aware of the message. We should look for the message. We should try to listen to the message. But it's not happening in the month of Av, the month when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. It's happening in the month of Adar, the happiest month of the year. So there is something being told to us. We're being told something very, very, very important. Let's begin with the following statement. We say the Torah, it begins with the word Bereshis. Bereshis Bara Lekim Es HaShemayim V'Es HaOretz. And for some of you, you should be very aware that Rashi, the first Rashi, says, Omer Rav Yitzchak, he says, Bishvil Yisrael Shenikra Reishis. The Torah tells us that the world was created for what? For Yisrael, for the Bnei Yisrael. They are called Reishis. So what is coming to light right now, any world events is centered around how Bnei Yisrael are living and behaving. And whatever is out there, all the upheaval, the financial, the social, the moral upheaval that's taking place out there in the world, is all dependent on how Bnei Yisrael are behaving, and it's time for the Bnei Yisrael to take stock of their own future, their own destiny. Going back to the Mishnah of the floating skull, Hillel made a Mishnah out of that. So we have to look around and see all the extraordinary events, the closing of his shuls, the closing of the schools, the fact that we're forced to stay indoors and spend our whole time with our own family. Maybe there's an advantage to that. We're getting to know our family a little bit better since we're not forced to be out of the house that much anymore. There are a lot of advantages in that too, if one would stop to think. It's all based on Mida Keneged Mida. You see, gentlemen, we don't have any Nevi'im anymore. We really don't know exactly why this is all happening. We don't have a Kohen Gadol with the Urim V'Tumim, with the breastplate that would light up when there was a question that needed to be answered. We don't have Ruach HaKodesh anymore. We don't have the divine inspiration to tell us what direction to take. But we do have one thing that remained throughout history, and that is Midah Keneged Midah. We have to stop and think, measure for measure, what is going on here, and what does it mean to me, to each one of us? So therefore, let's stop and think. We have, right now, we are living in a Magefa. Plague. A Magefa that took place in the time of Makis Bechoros. The Jewish people were told to stay indoors. Isn't it interesting to note that Parshas HaChodesh, the Parsha that we just read this Shabbos, or we said it, because I said it in my house, I didn't go to shul, talks about Corona, that's in Pasuk Tes, Perek Yud Beis Pasuk Tes, that word Corona talks about eating the Korban Pesach raw. You look at the Pasuk Tes, you see the word Corona there. But the Parsha also talks about everybody has to stay indoors. Isn't that an interesting Parsha, that's when we have read the Parsha indoors? And the Parsha talks about, remember today. Remember, it should be a Chag. Yes, while we're indoors. And it says, Ushmatim es ha-matos. Guard the matzos. And Chazal say, read the word not matzos only, but read it mitzvos. And you should guard the mitzvos. And while we're in the house, while we're secluded, and while Rav Ashi says that and hints to Corona, there is some kind of connection. So now we are living, there is a magefa. There is a terrible magefa outdoors there. And we have to take note that somehow, some way, it's because the way the Jewish people are behaving. And I would like to share with you what Rabbi Waxman said. And I thought there was a very, very interesting insight to what's happening to us today. He said there were three times Magefa happened, mentioned in the Torah. The first time the Magefa, a plague that killed people, was by the Egel HaZahav, by the golden calf. When they made the golden calf, there was a Magefa. Jewish people died. That means those that were not killed by the Shevet Levi. The second place is by Korach. There was a Magefa. By Korach, a lot of people died there too. And the third place, there was a Magefa by Benos Moab, the daughters of Moab, and the story with Pinchas, that he took a spear and he killed Zimri ben Solomon, the Cosby Bastur. Remember the story over there of what happened over there? Each one surrounded another incident of a deterioration of Jewish behavior and Jewish values. Let's go back. There was a Magefa by Egel HaZahav, by the making of the golden calf. What does that represent? Represents the Avodah Zarah of gold, of money. We sometimes have a problem treating our money with the same kind of reverence. Sometimes our lives revolve around money. How much of our lives have been affected by the amount we make and by the amount we don't make, and how much of that affects our Yiddishkeit, how much does it affect our Midas? All about money. The Egel HaZahav was about money. How was there an Egel HaZahav? Aaron tried to stall for time, as you know, as the Medrash explains to us, and he tried to get them to give him gold And by the time the gold would be put together and would be made into a statue, and then by that time, after it would be carved out and chiseled, who knows, Moshe for sure would be back. We know it didn't happen. But all about money. All the gold and silver was collected. And they made a Negel Azov. What was the result? A Magefa. A plague. The second place is Kairach. There was a Magefa in the days of Kairach. What happened with Kairach? Kairach created a rebellion between him and Moshe Rabbeinu. There was a Machlokes. And when there's a Machlokes, then there is a Magefa. There was a terrible Magefa around Kairach. We know what happened to Kairach and his community. They were swallowed in the ground. We all know about that. But Kairach, the Magefa around Kairach, about Machlokes, and who knows if that Magefa is around today because of it. How many people are involved with feuds, Machlokes, between partners in business, between husbands and spouses, between family members, that one does not talk to the other for some petty reason. Could be nonsense, but whatever it is, it boils down to one word. It's a machlokes. There's dissension. There's unhappiness. Families will not invite others to a simcha. People don't want to talk to others or friends of the people who are involved with machlokes, because they don't want to disassociate themselves to their friend, and this person has a machlokes with somebody else, so therefore they also have to part to be separated. It's contagious. It becomes a domino effect. It's a machlokes that has killed many, many Jewish families, friends, and the Shalom Bayis and Klal Yisrael. So just like by Kairach, there was a Magefa, we have to ask the maybe question. Maybe there's a Magefa because there is Machlokes in the Jewish people today. And the third Magefa is Benais Moav. We're familiar with the story over there with the daughters of Midian and Moav enticed the Jewish people into immorality and Avodah Zarah. And Pinchas came to the rescue of Klal Yisrael. He came just in time before Hashem wiped out many more thousands. The Torah tells us there were, I believe there were 24,000 people were killed. I'm just looking it up because I have a Chumash right next to me. I believe there was 24,000. I just want to look it up. Arba'a the Eshim Olaf, 24,000. 24,000 people were already killed by Magefa at the time when Pinchas stopped the Magefa. Magefa came around because of immorality. There's immorality around the Jewish people, willingly or unwillingly, whether it's because we are forced to associate in business with people who are not necessarily modest, where tznius becomes an issue, and then we collaborate with these kinds of people, and then it affects our social relationships at home. It sometimes borders on seeing things on the internet and on a smartphone, which is also a compromise to the Jewish values that we hold so dear and sacred, where it is the antithesis of Kedusha and Tahara. It's all about Benos Moav. It's the same Benos Moav. It's the same immorality. It's all there. It's the same thing. And out of the way we socialize just in general, Are we socializing appropriately according to halacha, even if it's at a kiddush, and even if it's at a bar mitzvah, or even if it's at a wedding, or even if it's at a malka? You know, there has to be some rules over here that the Torah wants us to keep. Kiddusha is a hallmark of a Jew. And Hashem wants us to know that He cares about that. And in all of these three events, I'll repeat them, Egel HaZahav, Kairach and his arguments, Benos Moav and their immorality, Hashem wants us to wake up and realize these things cause a magefa. Rev Chaim Kanievsky Shlita, you all are familiar with this great rabbi in Eretz Yisrael who finishes Shas every year at Erev Pesach, was asked about the event. He says, Mashiach is knocking on the door. He's not around the corner. He's not at the door. He is knocking on the door. Mashiach is screaming, let me in. Let me in. But we're not prepared to open the door. How come? Because we're not prepared to let go of the things that are preventing him from entering. So the question is, how can we open this door for Mashiach and let him in? There's a famous Gemara in Sanhedrin, and I will quote it. Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Tzadikas on the base. Shalu Tamidav Sa'etz Rebbe Elazar. The Tamidim of Rebbe Elazar asked Rabbi Elazar, Mayasa Adam, Vinatzal Mechavlai Shal Mashiach. What shall a person do? And he'll be spared the pain of Mashiach. Rabbi Elazar answered, there are only two things, and none other than two things. Yasok Batorah, Ugemilas Chasadim. Be occupied by learning Torah, and be occupied doing Gemilas Chasadim. To be occupied means to be engaged constantly. And if you're engaged in constant learning, you're also engaged in constant behavior of the Torah. Be engaged in doing favors. Put away some of the pettiness and be giving. Be generous. Be benevolent. Go out and help and show that you care for others. These two things will protect you, will insulate you from Chevli Shel Mashiach. The Sephorna, and now I'm going to get back to this week's Parsha. I started off saying we're starting a Parsha share in Sefer Vayikra. So you wonder, what does Sefer Vayikra have to do with our situation, our upheaval of the corona disease? And I thought of it as a very direct pasuk. It's based on the Sephorna. The pasuk at the beginning, I'll read you the two psukim at the beginning of Vayikra. Vayikra el Moshe. Hashem spoke, called to Moshe. Vayidabra Hashem elov, and Hashem spoke to him, Oyel Moed Lema, from the Oyel Moed saying, Dabir b'nei Yisrael, speak upon to the Jewish people, v'yamarta aleim, and say to them, Adam, ki Yaakov mikem korban Hashem. Adam, when you will make a korban to Hashem, it should be min ha-behema, min ha-boko, min ha-tzayin, from the behemoths, from the cattle, and from the sheep. Takrivu es korbanchem. You shall bring your korban. Said the Sephorna, what does that mean? Adam ki Yaakov mikem. A person should be makriv from you. Says the Sephorna, ki Yaakov me'atzmechem. You should give of yourselves to Hashem. Bevidoi devarim v'achno'a. And to go ahead, be humble and be submissive to the derech Hashem. We have a lot to do. We have a lot of korbanos to give. The pasuk in this week's parsha of Yaakov, Ki Yaakov Mikem Korban Hashem, is so very, very appropriate. Because the truth of the matter is, and I started off saying not long ago, that we have no Navi. We have no Ruach HaKodesh. We have no Kohen Gadol to tell us what's going on. Why are we going through all this? But we do have Mida Keneged Mida. And therefore, no one is to point a finger to anybody. The only finger we have to point is to ourselves. We have to ask ourselves, what korban could I give to Hashem from the things that can bring a magefa? Is it money? Is it overspending? Is it being overly indulged in all the worldly pleasures where I can get by with much less, right? Are we so saturated with materialism? We got to think about that. Just ask yourself that. Are we engaged in a lot of machloikis? Maybe it's a time to bring a korban. Bring a korban. I'm going to give up my feelings, and I'm going to look to make friendship with a friend or with a family member. That's a korban. You're giving up from yourselves. You're doing vidui. You're doing vidui. A korban. Bring a korban from the immorality that's happening. Maybe there is something we're looking at on our smartphones or on our computers on the internet that is not sync with the sanctity of a Torah and Yerushalayim. And it's time to give a korban. Everybody has to give a korban. So everybody has to ask, what korban can I give? Could you imagine if we have, let's make 1 million people suddenly will give one thing up, but will give it all up in one day? The Jewish people are prepared to give 1 million korbanos. You know what kind of ra'ash, what kind of storm it's going to make in Shemayim? That is what Mashiach is looking for. He's looking to open that door so that someone's going to bring a korban. Maybe that's the explanation why it's during Ador. Mishenichnas Ador Marvin Besimcha. Because if we will finally come to terms with our own identity, and we will let Mashiach come in through the door, oh, is that Mishenichnas Ador Marvin Besimcha on a royal prime level? Oh, is that Mishenichnas Ador? We allow Mashiach to walk through the doors of our homes, and we're going to be able to invite him and make him part of our family. That's a reason to say Mishenichnas Ador Marben Besimcha. Boy, does that have a whole different meaning. Therefore, gentlemen, it's time to take stock of our lives, to take stock of our behavior, take stock of our families. We have to spend more time with our children. We all like to advance ourselves in learning. I don't know if the children ever see a father sit down by a sefer. Does a child ever hear the Kol Torah? I had a student of mine many years ago. He was already divorced, and he came over to me, Rebbe, I have a problem. What do you advise me to do to get my son to learn more? So I say, are you learning? Of course I'm learning. I attend Daf Yomi every morning. I repeated my question. Does your son see you learn? And he couldn't answer that question. So what do you expect your son to do? To imitate you. He sees you're not learning. He may know you're learning, but he doesn't see you learning. How can we change that? That makes the house an environment of Torah and of mitzvos and learning.
Good talk to me.
Can we possibly create an environment with making a brachos loud enough instead of mumbling, so that someone who's sitting next to you can answer Amen? Do you realize Amen? I've said it once before. Some of you remember. Amen creates a Malach. Because the word Amen adds up numerically to 91. The word Malach, Mem, Lamed, Aleph, Chav, adds up to 91. It's so easy to create a good Malach. We're living in a time of a Magefa. How easy can it be if we just make the effort to make the brachos aloud so that anyone who hears you answers Amen? Do you realize, but you can make a bracha in one end of the room and someone answers Amen in the other end of the room, and by the fact that he answers Amen, fills up the entire room with Kedusha. You know, it reminds me of a person taking a spray, like a fragrance spray, like he wants to add some fragrance to the room. All he has to do, stand in the middle of the room, 5 seconds, and the whole room smells beautiful. Well, you don't need 5 seconds to make the room full of Kedusha, beautiful Kedusha. You make a bracha, and someone answers, Amen, in a split second, and the whole room is full of Kedusha. Do you know a Jew that can't use a good Malach? Let me know who he is. I've never heard of such a Jew, especially now when there's a Magefa raging outdoors. So we got to look for ways of improving every part of our Avodas Hashem. And I say, everyone's different. We should at least do what we can do. Let's try to begin the day with saying Moda Ani properly and washing Negovasa. Negovasa is a very important thing. To wash our hands appropriately, the right, the left, the right, the left, the right, the left. And it should be the whole hand and not 4 fingers. And it should be without with an empty cup, but with a full cup. We should give tzedakah every single day. And let our children know you give tzedakah. Maybe give in front of them and then give in shul if you wish. But let doing mitzvahs be a goal in your life so that it's a family, it becomes a family objective, a family habit. I have no doubt that with the words that I'm saying, and I've inspired myself through all these words because I had to prepare all this, that I have no doubt that Hashem is listening to every word and that he is certainly going to bless all of us with a year ahead of us with bracha v'atzlacha, and we hope, b'mirat Hashem, in the near future to be able to talk personally in Yerushalayim, bringing the Korban Pesach in its proper time with the building of the Beis HaMikdash, b'mehera v'yameinu, amen v'amen. Thank you.
Amen. Shkoyach.